control. He drives all fear away.
How can I fear Him if Jesus is near?
Jesus is near.
He watches over me. Worries all cease.
Wonderful truth in the words of that song, and I'm grateful for it for sure. Yesterday morning, as I was reflecting on the events of the last days, the Lord made it abundantly clear that I was not going to preach the message that I had prepared to preach. And those of you that have been in that position, that's like, okay, Lord, I was planning to take some time off today, but obviously I'm not going to now. I want to say to you, I'm going to talk through some things today with you. You guys up there in the sound booth, are we off? Okay, we're good. All right. We're not live streaming this. I said that in the service, in the email, I'm sorry. The primary reason why we're not doing that is I just don't want there to be something out there that somebody could use against us. That's really the deal. We have to think that way today, unfortunately, and I'm sorry. I'm not saying anything I'm ashamed of or anything else. We're just going to kind of walk through some things. I want to do the best I can to present to you a balanced view of what's happening in the world today, okay? A couple of things, just in case you don't know this. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a doctor. I'm definitely not a government official, okay? So we're clear on all those things. I have, though, tried to read tons of material, okay? Yesterday, I read and read and read. I've been up since 3 this morning, just working through in my mind, okay, what's going to happen today? No decision that a pastor makes that's this heavy is made lightly. I want you to know that, okay? There are all kinds of potentials to it. I already know that no matter what decision you make, somebody's not going to like it. That's just the way it goes, okay? But I want you to know that we're making some decisions based on what we really believe is the best course of action, okay? I'm going to talk more about this as we get into the message today. We are going to look at the Word of God because the Word of God has the answers, all right? That's the most important thing that we're going to talk about today. Are there extremes out there today? Have your head buried in the sand? Yes. Are there people overreacting to what's happened today? Yes. One word will tell you that. Or is it a combo? Anyway, toilet paper. I guess that's two words, isn't it? Anyway, I'm like, why are we buying toilet paper like crazy? Because, anyway, it's crazy. But stores are wiped out. There's been panic buying. No question about that. I know that was not an intended pun, but nevertheless. Dale and Jeremiah, we need to separate those two over there is what we need to do. Yes. But can I tell you this? There are people that have reacted underly too. That's a word. I made it up today. Okay. In other words, are there people that are underreacting to this, if you will? I can tell you, absolutely, that's the case, all right? I've seen people, for instance, yesterday I saw a friend of mine, at least for now they were a friend of mine, say, 18 of the 32 deaths in America are people out of nursing homes. Come on, people. And I'm like, so what you're saying is it's okay to kill them because they are older and they're in a nursing home? Because that's in essence what you're saying. It's really not that big of a deal when someone dies of a disease when they're in a nursing home. Do you know what that leads to? That's a wrong perspective. Now, is the disease impacting older people? Yes, it is, a lot more significantly. All right, Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10. Okay, Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10 is where we're going to start today. And we're going to try to walk through some things that have happened this week. Could I use the word ratcheted up? Really, from Wednesday to last night, it's like, wow. I mean, we've gone from, I had no idea this was going to happen this way. I mean, we knew there were cases out there. We knew there were issues. But boy, it's really ratcheted up. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Look down at verse 13. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Tell you a little story about me that you may not know. Some of you may know this story, but I don't remember telling it here before. But when I was a boy, I was an absolute scaredy cat. I know that's shocking to you, right? I mean, like, I was petrified. We lived in a trailer, okay? And it was the old metal trailers, not the really nice ones today that are, you know, stick-built almost in themselves. And they had like a metal type of roof on them. Anybody ever live in a trailer like that? Okay, a number of you. All right. I'll give you a hint. In the daytime, it heats up. And in the nighttime, it gets cool. And when it gets cool, it starts popping. And the popping sounds just like somebody's walking down the hall. If you've ever lived in a trailer, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And I'd lay in bed at night as a boy and go, somebody's in my house. And he'd be like, and I knew it was the heat that was, you know, it was cooling off the evening and it was just letting go of that expansion. But my heart was beating and all this kind of stuff. And then I decided, I got to go check. I'm like, I'm not laying in this bed and he stabbed me in the bed. If he's going to stab me, I'm going to be up and fighting, amen. I mean, I'm like, let's go. So I would go to my door and I'd stand against the wall and I'd be like, and then I'd stick my head out the door and look that way and this way like, nobody's there. I'd go back to bed. Just ridiculous. If some of you are that way, I'm sorry. By the way, I don't do that now, just in case you're wondering, right? You know what verse my mother gave me for that? Isaiah 41:10. I memorized that as a boy. I was probably, I'm going to guess, 8 or 9 years old. And I'd go over that in my mind. During this same time that I was not only a fraidy cat then, but I would dream a lot. I rarely dream now. I just don't dream. I don't know why. They say maybe you're not really sleeping. Whatever. I just don't dream all a lot. But then I would dream. And every one of my dreams, if it were going to be a bad dream where somebody's going to get me, every dream started in a football huddle. Go figure. I'm like, are you serious? And this was really before I was a huge football fan. I was in that trailer, but I mean, it wasn't like I was, you know, diehard or anything. But I knew as soon as I went to sleep in this little football huddle and there's these guys, there was some guy going to kill me in the dream. It's going to happen. And so I'd try to fight to wake up on this. And then I'd go back to sleep in this, you know, and it was like, this is crazy. This verse helped me. It's really easy to let your mind wander and not think reality, isn't it? I mean, we can allow fear to absolutely dominate us. How do you respond? How do we respond to this unprecedented event happening around the world? It's not unprecedented in the fact that people are dying from a disease. That's happened before. But I don't ever remember in my lifetime, and I don't ever remember in the history of our country, as far as I know, that there's been this kind of panic and shutting down of things. I mean, who would have ever thought that the NBA, the NHL, the MLB, the XFL, the NASCAR, the Masters, I mean, you could just keep naming it, would completely shut down. And for Pastor Caleb's sake, the soccer leagues in Europe. That's a really big deal, right? But really, the billions and billions and billions of dollars, the NCAA tournament, I mean, that alone, and they're scrambling now to figure out, are we going to give these kids an extra year of eligibility? Because they're not going to get to play for championships. And even if they do, it's not going to be the same. Yeah, all of that's happening. We have extremes today, as I've already mentioned. We have people who are saying, get over it, people. It's not that big of a deal. More people have died from the flu than this. Okay, can I just tell you? That may be technically true, but if it's your loved one dying, it really doesn't matter. That's pretty significant to them, if it's your loved one that's dying, all right? And then we have the people that believe it's all a conspiracy, everything. They believe that China and Italy and all of Europe and other countries are in on hating our president. And the Democrats actually were able to complete this whole process. They went to China and started this disease on purpose. Really? What I'm saying is there's extremes out there. And if you're on any social media at all, you've seen those extremes. You're like, you're talking about me because I posted something yesterday. I'm really not trying to talk about you if it happens to hit. Sorry, that's just the way it is, right? Can I tell you that this can be very dangerous? It's already impacting our missionaries around the world in a number of places. And I'm sure, I don't even know, I hadn't even talked to Naomi, but I'm sure worldwide's missionaries are struggling in various places. But can I give you some details here? And the Spanish flu of 1918 killed 50 million people. Killed 50 million people. You got to go do some research on the fact that the city of Philadelphia ignored containment type of deals and the city of St. Louis did not, and look at the difference in their numbers. It's pretty astronomical. But let's get a little closer to home. What about the swine flu? H1N1, 2009 and 2010. Do you know how many people were infected? 61 million. 61 million. Of those, 575,000 people died from that flu. The Asian flu of 1957 killed 1.1 million people. The Hong Kong flu of 1968 killed an estimated 1 million people. By the way, some of those were complications. In other words, it was a flu that morphed into something and morphed into something. That's part of what's happening today, okay? You've probably seen around, you know, they've had pictures of their Lysol cans. You know, the coronavirus has been around for a while because Lysol already deals with it. Can I tell you the coronavirus is an overwhelming name? It's an overarching name is the way I want to say it. For instance, SARS and MARS or M-E-R-S, all of those are part of what's considered the larger umbrella of this coronavirus. This technical name is what COVID-19, I think, is what its technical name is. It is a form of the coronavirus. So here's what I want us to see as we work through this. We must recognize that nothing takes God by surprise. He's in control. He's in control. So how do we respond? We respond, number one, by carefulness. By carefulness. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. Proverbs 13:16 says. The simple believe every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. The Word of God has a lot to say about someone being prudent. That is, looking to the future and saying what's going to happen or what potentially could happen and responding wisely as you do. Be careful what you believe. There's tons of misinformation out there. For instance, let me just give you a couple of things. There's a thing circulating around that on hard surfaces, that only last 12 hours. On cloth surfaces, it's 6 to 12 hours. Anybody seen that floating around the internet? Nobody? Okay, a few of you. I have. All right. That's not true. Matter of fact, they don't know how long it lasts. Another one that they just discovered yesterday, the U.S. government initially was saying that this cannot be transmitted if you're not showing signs of it. That also is not true. You can be a carrier and never show signs of it. It's part of what's happening. There's actually a group of people in Massachusetts that they figured out it came from an employee picnic, and multiple of them have tested positive and never had any signs of it. So it's changing their perspective, like, oh, wait a minute, what's going to happen with this? Be careful about jumping to conclusions about why certain people make decisions. I've already seen today and yesterday statements such as, pastors canceling services, and I'm like, you know what? You don't know all the decisions that are made there. You don't know all the reasons why the decisions are made. Can I tell you something? We don't have to give an account for any other church in America. We're an independent church. That's what that means. We're accountable right here, okay? And ultimately, God's going to hold me accountable as he's tasked me with being the shepherd of this flock. Be careful that you don't underreact as well. Okay? This is a post yesterday. Has anyone else noticed that the COVID-19 scare started immediately after impeachment failed? It's all planned. By the way, I challenged that person. I don't get into Facebook arguments, but yesterday I did. I'm like, do you really believe this? I mean, like, come on, you believe that people are dying in China just because they want to... Anyway, I can tell you that we're going to try to be as careful as we can be. I think you ought to be as careful as you could be. Doesn't mean that I think you ought to spaz. I just think you ought to be careful. I don't think you ought to walk out there and say, you know what? Bless God, I'm going to trust God, and it just don't matter. Well, no, God says, hey, be prudent. Be prudent. Number two, I think we ought to be compassionate. We ought to be compassionate. Some have compassion, making a difference. Psalms 86:15, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, plenteous in mercy and truth. Matthew 18:33, shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? Are there some people reacting out of fear? Yes. Christina sent us a message saying that it was a lady in the front of a line that she was in screaming because she couldn't buy something, and the fear in her eyes was legitimate. She was scared. Okay, there are people that are going to react out of fear. Are there people with anxiety attacks? Yes, there are. But how would the Lord respond to them? Get a grip. Get over it. I don't think that's how He would respond to them. Okay. Should we live in fear? No, we should not. But is that a struggle for some people? It is. It is a struggle, very much. What would happen? Now, this is important for me. What would happen to the jokes and the memes if someone in your family died from this? Would those jokes be funny anymore that you made of? What about somebody in your church? What about one of your neighbors? I just want to caution you, be careful. There are people out there, as quote-unquote a low a figure as it is, as some people have done, there are people dying. Thousands of people are dying from this. Somebody's family's hurting over that. I hope it doesn't come to us, but it could. We need compassion. What would happen to your conspiracy theory if your family member died? Think about... I want to do something here. The Lord gave me this yesterday. I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. Okay, so please don't do that. But I want to just illustrate this for you for a second. If you are over the age of 60, I'd like for you to stand, please. If you're over the age of 60, I'd like for you to stand. All right? If you can. All right? Won't you look around you? For all those people that it really doesn't matter, quote unquote, because it's just impacting those over 60, I want you to look around you. All right, how many of you, you stay standing, how many of you have some type of compromise in your system, either diabetes, you've had or are currently battling cancer, or something else that's a complication of this? If you're already standing, raise your hand. If you're not yet standing, stand up, okay? Look around you now. Look around. Everybody, look, okay? Does that give you a good picture? Okay, stay standing for just a second. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 28, 29, 30, 31. All right, there's 31 of them. Okay, so 10% would be what? 3 people or so. Okay. By the way, the statistics say right now, you guys can sit down. Okay. The statistics say right now that 2.5% of the people are dying from this, approximately. But can I tell you something? Those statistics are skewed. It's about 25% in that age class. Okay? So I'd like for you to pick out the 8 people in this room that you'd like to see die from this. Do you get the point? I'm not trying to over-dramatize this. I'm just trying to say, look, it may not be a big deal. By the way, we could expand this beyond that. Talk to Steve and Diane. Their grandson could be significantly altered by this. Matter of fact, if he gets it, according to Bethany, he's pretty much not going to make it if he gets this. How far are they from the beginning of this thing? 5 miles. The first death of this happened 5 miles from their home. So my point is this. Be compassionate. There are people actually hurting from this. I don't really care if it's less than the flu. You understand what I'm saying? I understand what you're talking about. There's hysteria created. I got that. What I'm saying is, let's be compassionate. I think that's a great response. And I think it's a response from our Lord. Number three, I think we should have calmness. Not only carefulness, compassion, but calmness. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we've received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Very familiar passage of Scripture, Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6, verse 31 and following. The Bible says, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Or where shall we buy toilet paper? I mean, if we're buying application, that's exactly what this is talking about. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Is it coming to our community? I don't know. Well, what if it does? You know what? We can approach it then. We're going to talk about some measures that we're going to do to try to avoid that. Be prudent. Be careful. Live as God wants you to live, but be calm. God's in control. Please, again, I'm not making fun of people. By no means. But I can tell you something. In 100 years, all of you are going to be dead anyway. I'm not making light of it. I'm just telling you that's the reality. We're all going to die. We have to prepare for that, but we're all going to die. And so therefore, something is going to kill us one way or the other. And God tells us to be eternally minded. Number four, I think the Bible tells us to be content. To be content. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content, Paul says in chapter 4 and verse 11 of Philippians. The larger context, be careful for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. How do you do that request? With thanksgiving. Control your thoughts. Think on things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise. Think on those things, or these things, Paul says. And then he says, it doesn't matter. I can be in a prison. I can be beaten. I can be doing well. It doesn't matter. I can still be content right where God has me. So be content. That's what God wants for us. Number five, be comforted. God's in control. Nothing's taken him by surprise. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4 says, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. In other words, God is telling us, look, sometimes I take you through something difficult so that you then understand what someone else is going through. Isn't it been interesting, the people who have had this already and lived through it, and their videos are incredibly popular. Why? People want to know, what'd you do? How'd it feel? How'd you come through it? What's that? It's a comfort to them, even though they're not applying this text necessarily. I think these are five things that we can do. So what does this mean for us? Does it mean we're going to keep meeting? Can I just tell you, we don't have all the answers, okay? We don't know how significant this is going to be, all right? I'll give you what the norm is, if there is a norm, okay? Generally speaking, we're talking about probably a two-month period, okay? That's assuming that the information coming out of China is accurate. We already know China lied to begin with. They lied about the first month for sure, and that's part of the reason why this spread around the world, because it was not contained in those beginning weeks. Could China have been dealing with this for 3 months or for 4 months? They could have been. But generally speaking, we're looking at least a month, maybe longer than that, before really we got a handle on, is this going to happen? What's the dangers? We're really dealing with three things as a ministry, okay? We're dealing, first off, with just the pure liability of things. what happens with people coming to our ministry and potentially being exposed and da-da-da-da. And you're like, well, you know, the community really doesn't care. I got an email yesterday from someone in the community. Pretty much blasted me because your church is not taking this serious, da-da-da-da. If our community gets this disease, it's going to be your fault. And the only thing I can assume is that they went to our website, and because there wasn't any statement on there, they assumed we weren't doing anything. So we have a liability issue. We have a testimony issue. Okay? We don't want to be a bad testimony. All right? Then I said three things. I think there's actually four. Then we have a governmental issue. Okay? Though technically, this morning, we're under the threshold of what the government stated. We're right on the line. Okay? And the real deal with the government, by the way, I don't believe the government's, in this particular case, is power hungry. They are power hungry, and they do try to grab power sometime. I don't personally think that's what's happening. I don't think they've broken the Constitution. There are unique circumstances in which some of those things are superseded in order for us to respond to tragedies or whatever. I think that's a possibility. That's exactly what's happening here. The governor hasn't told us we can't meet. He's told us we can't meet in crowds larger than 100. Why? Because when you get to exposure at that level, the potential for you to get it exponentially goes up. That's really the deal. They're trying to limit what they're calling social contact. Really, they're recommending you should stay 6 feet away. Okay? 6 feet's quite a long play. I know people are like, I gotta move. Nope, you can't get quite enough away, right? That's part of the problem, okay? So they're trying to limit that. Obviously, if you haven't heard this already, you need to wash your hands, you know? By the way, you need to wash your hands for 20 seconds, and you ought to time it. Because you may think you're a good hand washer, which I do think I'm a good hand washer, as I wash my hands all the time. And so I timed myself, and it was about 10 seconds. And I'm like, oh, I need to double that. And you start counting, and you're like, man, that is a long time to wash your hands. So I'm just telling you, be careful with some of those things, okay? Our college kids will be gone an extra week. We know that up front. The college has already dismissed them. They're gone for 2 weeks. Our ministries are going to need to adjust to that. And I can just tell you, they're probably not going to be back, all right? Has the decision finally been made? It has not. But with the governor's statement last night, and by the way, that statement goes for 30 days, the school systems are closed for 2 weeks, but the governor's statement of gatherings over 100 is a 30-day gathering. Ambassador's going to be over 100, so I expect the college to make the decision that the kids are not coming back. All right? Now, you may have tons of questions about that. I don't know. They don't pay me that much to make those decisions, okay? We are going to try to get the kids' education done. We're probably going to do it online, which is not what we prefer. But that's where we're at this point. Again, I'm not making those decisions. I'm just telling you, ministry-wise, we're probably not going to have our kids back. So music schedules, nursery schedules, preschool schedules, all those things are going to need to be adjusted. All right, we know that for there. Then, we are going to cancel services beginning this Wednesday. Okay? We just believe this is the prudent thing to do. Is it potentially an overreaction? Potentially. Okay? But here's the thing, all right? When you saw all these people that stood in our auditorium, these are the people that are at risk. And by the way, that does not include the rest of the Workman family that's not here. And those girls would be in significant risk if this came to them. It does not include Mike Skinner. I texted Mike yesterday and said, Mike, I really don't think you need to come to the service today. I just wanted him to know. I don't often text people and tell them don't come to church. I'm just saying. But I really wanted Mike to know because I know Mike. And he's like, thank you, Pastor, for telling me that. I concur. I don't need to be there. He just doesn't need to be there. All of that escalates, okay? So we're just going to cancel services for now. How long is that going to last? We really don't know, okay? Our goal is to be back as soon as we can, all right? For lots of reasons. We need to be together. Right? We're not an online community. Okay, and I'm going to prove that to you because it's kind of interesting because I was going to start a series on the local church today. And I'm like, you know what, Lord, I'm not going to preach that series through the internet saying we need to be gathered together, amen. That's what the Bible says. It's like, this is not going to work. So, but by the way, we asked the Wendangles to do some extra cleaning yesterday and they did so. So we're trying to do some of those things. How long will this last? I don't know. We're not canceling Sunday service yet. We're canceling Wednesdays, all right? Is it likely that Sunday service will be canceled? It is, all right? What time period are we looking at? My guess is going to be a minimum of 2 weeks. Minimum. I really think it's probably going to be 4, okay? But I don't know that. What I don't want to do is I don't want to say we're going to cancel services for 4 weeks, and 10 days from now the governor says, hey, we're fine, and then we have to go back and say, wait a minute, we can meet again, and so forth, all right? So that's basically where we are. Again, I know that that is, I know people are going to say, well, we just ought to meet anyway, and so forth. Okay, I got that. But when you pastor a church, you can make that decision, all right? All of our staff and deacons are on board with this. That's exactly what we all believe is the right decision. Now, are we not going to give you content? That was a double negative, wasn't it? Let's say it this way. We're going to give you content. How about that, all right? Last night, I spent some time with Brother Andrew Minion and just said, Andrew, how can I do this and this and this? And he walked me through, did some things. I was able to test last night. So what I'm hoping to be able to do, I use the word hope, not in the confident expectation of the Bible. I'm just saying generally speaking, because we never know technology, right? I mean, you just never know. But my goal is to upload messages and then send you a link to those. They will actually be loaded to our YouTube channel, which all of our live streaming eventually rotates to a YouTube channel, okay? And we'll send you a link. Okay, here's the Bible study for Wednesday night. Here's this or whatever. Some pastors around the country have been singing with their congregations. Yeah, exactly. Unless I can convince somebody to come step by me, that's not likely to happen. It's funny, Andy Bonikowski did. They did a WhatsApp service Friday night, and then did a WhatsApp service this morning as well for his people. And one of his sweet ladies texted him and said, Pastor, that's the first time I've ever seen a duet with you, because Andy was singing in the video and she was singing with him in her house, but that's not likely to happen. I can just tell you that. But definitely give you some Bible study content. It obviously is going to be different. We know that, okay? I want to recommend to you, and I'll say more about this as we send emails, but like Wednesday evening, I'd love for you to all be gathered around your computer, if you will, about 7. I just think there would be something neat about us watching it together as much as we could. Now, for some of you, you're like, well, I don't get off work till 7:30, but I'd love to be involved. Okay, I'm not saying you have to do that. I just think it'd be kind of neat. I would love to get information from you. Hey, Pastor, we're sitting down to watch the Bible study. Or, hey, you know, this or that, whatever. It just would be good for us to stay somewhat connected. Can you not fellowship with anybody at all? No. You can fellowship if you want to. You have to gauge the risk yourself. Okay, but I just want to remind you that you can be a carrier and not know that you have it. That's really the big deal with this, right? And that's what we really want to try to be careful of. Probably on Sundays, there'll just be one thing presented, okay? I'll still work through some of that. It will probably be a little bit different than we've been doing. So I don't know that I want to continue a series or something like that. We'll probably just do some other things because there's some of those series, the Book of Revelation, I don't think would be good to do through a video series. I think it'd be better for us to do personally with that. So when we come back, depending on how long it is, let's say that we could meet again in a week, all right? And we'd have to do some things. A couple of things that we would do if that were the case. We're not going to do visitation for a number of weeks, okay? People are not, don't want you come knocking on the door when everybody else is saying stay away from people, okay? So that's a simple thing that we can do. We've got planned a blitz right before Easter Sunday, the 11th. We'll just see how things play out with that. Is it possible Easter would be canceled? It is. I'm just going to tell you that's a possibility because of the way this thing goes. We also, when we come back, depending on the time period, let's say it's, again, a week or so, we're also not going to run our vans that pick up children, okay? Honestly, that's primarily a liability issue. I just wish we could do something different than that, but we really can't. It's just where this world is today, okay? It's not that we don't love those children, and we certainly do, but you're bringing your own children and you've agreed to the Constitution and it says you can't sue us. So, I mean, that's just the reality of it. So doesn't really matter if I do something to you. You can't sue. You could sue me individually. No, you couldn't do that either. But anyway, I'm just saying. Those parents don't necessarily have to abide by that. So it's just part of the world we live in today that we're trying to be careful. Now, if it's 4 weeks away and everything's been lifted and there's really no chance that anybody's going to get it again and all that kind of stuff, that we can resume all of those activities. But that's kind of where we're headed with this. What are some things to pray for? Obviously, we have a host of people in our congregation that are susceptible to some very damaging things from this. Okay, Don and Karen's missions trip has been greatly impacted. We don't know what's going to happen with that yet. We do know the airline will give them a change of ticket for free. We're thankful for that. But they may not be able to leave till June. Some of these countries are completely locked down. Another prayer request is Montenegro, our GO project this year. Montenegro is locked down right now. We don't know yet whether it's locked down because they had it or because they don't want it. We just don't know that. And when we make that decision, will they be open then? We don't know that either, honestly. Our president has said that he may impose domestic travel restrictions. So in other words, it may not just be you flying overseas. There may be things within this, in the country itself, that we may have to be restricted on. So there's a lot that's still up in the air with this, okay? A couple other things, and then we'll be done for today, okay? Are there people going to try to politicize this? 1,000% yes. are the media going to try to twist it to their advantage? Absolutely they are. So I am not saying that there's not misinformation out there. I just want us to be careful, that we're really careful as we work through things, okay? If you read a document that's claiming all kinds of stuff and they don't put any footnotes in it, you might want to rethink that document before you post it, because it's probably just their opinion. And if they don't have any look, I posted an article last night in my Facebook feed. Some of you went and read that. It was a deep article, by the way. If you haven't read it yet, it was a heavy article. But you notice something that he did? He linked almost everything. There was tons of documented research in there. One of the reasons I posted that particular article is because the stories that I'm hearing from individual people, and I have some really interesting ones already, firsthand stories, matches what he's saying in this document. Okay, so we have some real-time issues that are happening there. Okay, it's 12:30. I don't want to keep you over long, but do you have any questions that you think would apply to the entire congregation? Okay, serious questions. Yes, Brother Kevin. That's correct. Just because we don't want to just say automatically, hey, and this thing is lifted. We don't expect it to be lifted, but we're not, we don't want to do that. So, Brother Dale. Basically, how the government is continuing to respond to this, I know you're like, well, I don't trust the government anyway. Well, we got there's some point when the CDC is going to have to be trusted with this. So that's what we're just going to kind of heed their warnings and what they're saying to us with some prudence. Really, that's the deal. So because this Wednesday morning, no sporting events were canceled. None of this hysteria basically happened Wednesday morning. It started Wednesday towards the evening, and then it went crazy, really. So really from Wednesday to Saturday night, when our governor actually made it a decree that you can't meet over 100, we're only talking 72 hours. So our point is, we don't know what could happen in the next 72 hours or the next 72 hours. So we're just trying to be careful that we don't make too far of advanced stuff with that. So, yes, sweetie. The link we can send with anything. Either you or Diane can help with that. How many of you? Okay. How many of you did not get an email from me about what we were doing today? You did not get one. Okay. You need. It was the one about Curious. Yes. You did not get it. Raise your hand really high again. Okay. If you three ladies would see Diane or Lisa and make sure they have your email address, so that you can stay up to date. Everyone else got that. So, yes, Brother Don?
What about offering?
Okay, great question. I'm glad you brought it up and I didn't have to, right? No, we did talk about this in the deacon and staff meeting. A couple of things about this, all right? We still have a responsibility to God, and it's part of our worship, okay? If you have not yet set up online giving, that is an option for you, all right? Now, if you don't like that, okay. Online giving, you need to see Diane, and she could help you with that, or text her, email her, and she could help you set up that profile. If you're like, nope, don't want to do that, then you could mail a check to the church, okay? I do not open the mail. Diane primarily does that, all right? So I don't have to know what's going on. If you're like, nope, I'm a cash guy, bring it by the office. I'll open the safe, not literally open the safe. We have a drop door. I don't have the combination of the safe. We have a drop door. I can take you to it. You can drop it in there in an offering envelope, and then our men can get it when they want to. So there's a couple of options. It's not the most convenient thing, I understand. The most convenient for you would be to set up a profile and give online. I'm not telling you you have to do that, but that would be one way that you can do that if you can. Otherwise, you can mail that in or something like that. We're thankful. We're not trying to tell you that you don't have a responsibility. We're thankful that the Lord's been good to us. We do have a surplus. Brother Billy does a tremendous job of planning for rainy days, if you will. So if for some reason we really suffered in the offerings over the next month, we're not going to be in trouble, okay? You might be in trouble if you don't give to God what you're supposed to, but we're not going to be in trouble. I'm just saying, right? So I'm just messing. But that's a great question. Thank you, Brother Don, for that. Yes, Mary? I'm sorry? Okay, that's a great question as well. Those of you that are picking up these young people, if you could communicate with them already or go through Brother Bishop, if he has their contact information, and let them know that we're not going to do church for this foreseeable future. My guess will be that a lot of those parents should already figure that out anyway. But I can tell you that, and I'm be real careful here, but some of these parents really don't care about a lot of these kids. Miss Colleen can tell you that from her Bible club. And so if they could get a babysitter for a couple hours and send them to us, whether they were diseased or whether they got a disease, they really wouldn't care. I'm sorry about that, but that's the reality of it. So that's part of the reason why our liability plays into this as well. Most of those kids, if you don't contact them, you can tell this. Most of you that have picked up kids, they're going to be calling you because they want to know, I'm coming to church tonight. You come to pick me up? But we would be nice to be able to communicate that. By the way, our Bible clubs have obviously been shut down. Even before the school systems were shut down, the Bible clubs were shut down. Again, there's just all extracurricular activities. We don't even know if they're going to come back up at all this year. It's possible that they won't. So all those things. Yes, Ms. Colleen. Yes. Yes. Safety. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, some of these, yes, it is a good concern. I'm glad you brought that up. Some of these kids, honestly, their parents are on food stamps and they sell them on the black market, and these kids don't get them. In some cases, these kids qualify for breakfast and lunch and then a backpack to take home on the weekend, and they'll get none of that during this time. So some of these kids really will be very vulnerable during this time. So let's pray for them. Obviously, that's a big deal. And for, you know, a lot of families all over the place, this is a difficult time because, you know, school systems, now they got to get a babysitter. Well, most daycares are not taking kids either for obvious reasons. So, you know, you've got some issues with that. Yes, Ms. Lazara. Where is he at in Spain? Okay. Okay, so that's Richard. He's coming home. By the way, if American is abroad, he is allowed to come home. But from what I understand, Richard will probably be quarantined for 14 days when he lands in the country. So that's just what's happening. To London. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Right. Yes. Yes. Trust the Lord. That's right. Yes. Yes, let's do that. Okay, any other questions that would apply to the whole congregation? I can mention as deacons, staff, did I miss anything that we talked about? Or are we good on everything? I think I covered everything there. So, all right, this is kind of unprecedented time, I know. And we're just thankful that God knows and He's in control. When Pastor Boo and I talked yesterday, we're going to sing Simply Trusting here in just a moment. When we talked, he said, you're not going to believe the service setup. It's about trusting God and fearing not and those things. And the Lord did that, and I'm so grateful. I love this tune. Much of the words are the same, not all of them, but much of them are the same. But the tune is really a beautiful tune. So we're going to sing verse 1 and 2. That's the only two that are there. It's on front and back. And then with that, we'll be dismissed. Pastor Brew?
So you're going to sing a baritone solo, all right? If you can hear some harmony, you're welcome to try that. Look in the back page. The last note is not there. All right. The last note is not there. It's just a whole E flat. You'll do it automatically. And the introduction and interlude will be the same, just two measures before we sing at the double bar. Shall we stand together? Page 53, okay? Here we go. One. Simply trust.